Happy New Year to you. Good to see you here. Once again, you can pray that I don't fall off my little platform. We are creatures of habit, and subconsciously I am used to stepping to the left and the right. So it might get interesting. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. If you need a Bible, there's some on the back table. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take one of those Bibles on the back table. They're a simple Bible. If you really don't have one, I want to encourage you to stay with us through the hour here, and I'm going to talk to you about a couple of the Bibles I love, encourage you maybe consider getting one that you can make yours. No better investment than in the Word of God, that we'd be digging into His Holy Word and hearing from Him. Due to the uniqueness of a single service and our time together, there's no slides, there's no sermon outline. I just want to get into a couple texts with you this morning. We are going to finish chapter 10 of the Gospel of John this month. And my aim is to get us ready to begin chapter 11 as we begin as Disciples Church in the new location in just 4 weeks from now, in February 5th. So we're going to finish up chapter 10 this month. We're going to do a couple other unique focuses to get us ready for that transition. A couple of the things I want to preach on that I've been longing to preach on and for a while. And then we're going to have some special sharing in the month. We have our last service on the 29th, all church service, annual meeting that day. It's going to be a special time. So make sure you're here on the 29th. Exciting things happening. Let's dig into God's word this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. This is Jesus speaking, teaching, and I'm going to pick up here in verse 14, what's known as the parable of the talents. Speaking of the kingdom of heaven, he says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and had traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, said, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here is what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who had 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given. He will have in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of our Lord. God the Son humbles himself to take on flesh. That is the celebration of Christmas, the Advent, the coming of the Messiah, the promised one from the beginning of time. From the fall of man, God promised a Redeemer. God the Son put on flesh in humility. And here in flesh, he's teaching. He's bringing counsel. He's using parables to teach principles and the Lord's will. He's teaching here about stewardship. Stewardship is one who has the privileged assignment of managing someone else's stuff well. That's a steward. A steward is a manager of someone else's stuff, and they're good at it. They're faithful in it. God has entrusted us with a new year. The question is, how are we going to manage it? We must first remember and never forget that it's all His. The scriptures are clear, and if I had more time this morning, I'd walk you through Old Testament to New about the reality that it is all His. It belongs to Him, our very lives, our time, our relationships. Not only because He created us, not only because He has numbered our days, but because of this important truth found in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, you do not belong to yourself, for God has bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your life. That for the saved, for God's people, those who put their faith in Jesus, we have been bought with a high price. We are His. He bought us out of our slavery in sin, a slavery that had us shackled unto eternal death, to a slavery unto Him as Master that is life, that is joy. It is our sin that causes us to want to say, I reign my own life. I call the shots. I belong to myself. That is a sinful view of the bigness of man and the smallness of God. No, instead we see the grandness of God. We see the smallness of man, and we recognize that we will always be enslaved to something, either to sin unto death or to Christ unto life. And it is our joy to be His, to belong to Him. What we are and what we have is entrusted to us by Him, that we would steward it for Him. And we do that well. He is our Master. We are His joyful slaves and servants, the scriptures say. The longing of our hearts is to one day hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, so I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your Father, of your Master. So, it is 2017. I mean, it is kind of fun just to stop and think about the number. Those of you who lived in the 60s or the 80s and looked forward to 2010, 2020. It's 2017. It's just, you know. God has entrusted us with a new year. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to arrogantly ignore Him and just keep our head down and just do what we do, do us, do what we want? Or do we recognize the bigger story that is unfolding all around us, the Creator at the helm of all things? And so in that, I just ask you to break into some of the things you've been surely thinking about as the 2016 year came to a close and a new year begins. Is what are some of your plans? What are your biggest hopes for this new year? What are some of your top priorities? And so here's the point. If you are blood bought by Jesus, your top priorities is to steward well what he has entrusted to you for his glory. And the scriptures say that will be for our good. Romans 6, 17 and 18, but thanks be to God that we who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Free from sin. Now, servants of righteousness. Whatever the details are, the financial, the physical, the emotional, the career, the parenting, the relational, the personal goals you have for the new year, they must be grounded, church, in a foundation of faithful service to the master for whom you serve, Jesus Christ. The point of this parable is to show faithful stewardship with the allotment that was entrusted to each one and the time that he dictated that would be. Those who made the most of what they were entrusted, and then the sinful failure of the lack of stewardship that came with the servant who did nothing. The servant who was entrusted one talent, he sat on it, buried it in a can in the ground and waited. He set aside what God had entrusted to him to focus on other things with that time. This morning, you need to stop and do a little inventory and really consider, what has God entrusted to you? Because it's different for all of us. See, we in our flesh, we want it all to get really even. We kind of feel like there is this the perfect standard, and we're trying to attain that. But no, you got to understand, God will appoint to us different things to manage. For some of you, that's wealth. For some of you, it is stewarding poverty. For some of you, that's amazing physical talent. For some of you, that's a sharp mind or a caring personality or a spirit that is inclined to be generous and helpful as a servant of others. For some, it's children. For others, it's a certain workplace. For some, it's marriage. For some, it's singleness. So what we need to do is worry less about what God has decided to entrust each of us and worry more about what are we doing with what he has entrusted us. See, we want to go put on the God shoes and kind of worry about what we have and don't have. What we need to do is joyfully receive from God what he perfectly, as God who is perfect, assigned to each of us and steward it well. Not knowing the time that he's going to give us. Not knowing if we even have tomorrow. So we steward well today. I say this when I'm counseling couples who are pregnant. There's a baby in the womb. You don't know that you'll even meet this child face to face in delivery. And God has entrusted you with today, with this child in the womb. Steward it well. And if he gives you tomorrow, then we steward tomorrow. We're good at making excuses. I'll get to that later. I'll start that routine next month, next week, tomorrow. What has God entrusted you? You got to start there. A spouse. I hope as people who are part of this church, people who are joining us to dig into God's word, people who are joining us in discipleship, are maturing as husband and wife, that your spouse would begin to see, who is this? And it's wonderful to see even marriages of 10, 20, 30 years, a maturity, a sacrificial love begin to churn in a marriage, and it soars on new heights because of the God's work in even just one. You know, the best thing you can do to be an impact in your marriage is not worry about what the other person's doing, but you work on you. You both go nowhere fast if you're only focused on the other person. What about children? What about grandchildren? What about a church family? Disciples God's put in your path? What about certain talents that you have? A certain job? What about the income God gives you? What are you doing with it? Are you investing what God has entrusted to you? In other words, are you waking up each morning and looking to be a faithful servant, a good steward of what he has entrusted to you? This means you don't get to just focus on one thing. We're not a good steward of the lives God gives us if you say, I'm just really going to be good with my money, but I'm a lousy spouse or father, mother, friend. No. You don't get to just be really good at one thing, that there's a balance. Good stewards, faithful servants, requires a pursuit of balance, a right prioritization of your daily task. We have to learn to invest ourselves rightly. What you can't do is just stay busy with life. What you can't do is just do what you've always done. No, every year, every month, every day, there should be refinements we're making. We should be growing and changing. It shouldn't look, 2017 should not look like 2016. I don't care if you loved it or hated it. In Christ, in the Holy Spirit, there should be growth. There should be maturity. There should be a growing happening, a taking on of new habits, better habits, a stewardship and a roundness to your day, to your discipleship, to your ministry, your witness. Why? Because as you're maturing in Christ, you're fighting sin. You're becoming more faithful in your servanthood to Jesus. Nobody gets to just roll into the new year and keep doing what they're doing. That is stepping aside from sanctification. The new year demands evaluation. It demands inventory, prayer, and reprioritization. It means inviting others in to walk with you, to help you take stake in what you were doing and how you're doing it. In our sin, we don't want to do that. We like to be in charge of our own. We don't like the idea of letting other people speak into areas of our lives. But God has saved us into the body that we would benefit by all that is around us. And so if you're a knee, you're kind of limited if you just remain a knee. You're benefited by the elbow and the forearm and the forehead and all the other components of the body that God has saved you into, the body of Christ. It's a joy to see many of you get this, whatever the area might be. I've sat with couples who have struggled and fought and had miserable marriages for 9-10 years, finally submitted to good counseling or to come to a marriage class, and grew exponentially, discovered parts of marriage they never even knew, habits and practices, discovered a way to forgive each other and work through things that, but you got to invite in. I've seen people struggle financially and work harder to make more money, but they're also in debt and the rest of these things, and finally get to a place where they've invited in mature brothers and sisters to say, hey, will you look at this with me? And maybe help me see something I don't see. And then to have many of you come back and say, we are on a whole nother plane. We have people in our church who have paid off $20,000 in debt this year, $100,000 in debt this year, because they finally let other people in to love them and walk with them. And it's just been amazing to see that maturity happening. But that will come so slow or not at all if you just keep it all to yourself. You will keep doing what you're doing. I hate to bring this, but you're not a very good coach to yourself. You got a plan to get into the gym, and you're not a very good coach to yourself. You know, we need help. We need counsel. We need to take stock. The master is coming. Are you faithfully stewarding what he has entrusted to you? Are you investing? Are you living for God? One of the biggest ways we invest and steward what God has entrusted to us, and I really want to just hone in on this today, is that we treasure the word of God in our heart. We hold fast to it. We let God coach us and mold us and shape our thinking and grow us. Listen to Psalm 19, 7 through 11. I love this. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. What is God's word? It is many things, but this morning to focus on a few. It is instructions of what not to do. If you're trying to figure out how to be a good steward this year of what the life God's given you, are you studying how your God has helped you to see what not to do? Notice it says in verse 11, moreover, by them, the servant is warned. You know, warnings are a great thing. You show up to the beach that day, and it's been all year, you've been waiting to go swim in that ocean water, and you show up, and there's a big sign that says, sharks in the water, swim at your own risk. I mean, you're really thankful that someone put that sign up. If there's sharks where I'm about to go swim, right? There it is. Stay put, Pastor. You might be a little bummed, but at the end of the day, you're thankful, right? Thankful for the warning. The instruction manual to a chainsaw is a great thing. Why? Because a chainsaw is the most dangerous tool you would use at home. Most of you don't even own chainsaws, and that's a good thing. They're dangerous. My dad has told me the stat. When you have the chainsaw at full RPM and you let go of the trigger, the amount of time the 42 teeth still rotate before it stops is like in the thousands. So, you know, something goes bad and you let go of the trigger, and the point in teaching his son how to use a chainsaw is, even if you let go of that trigger and it comes into a body part, yeah, like 1,000 teeth are still cutting through you. So be warned. Treat it with the right respect. Know how to use the tool. A warning on a chainsaw is a great thing. Why? Because I could ruin something really quickly if I use it wrong, or I could ruin myself, right? Warnings are a blessed thing. It's such a blessing that God's word has warnings in it. We're thankful for this. But are you heeding those warnings? Are you even knowledgeable what they are? The opposite is also true. God's word is instruction not only of what not to do, but what to do. So if I want to be a good steward of what God's entrusted to me, do I know really what he wants me to do with it? I can't really be a good steward of his stuff for his purposes if I don't know what they are. See, in the second half of verse 7 here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And then the second half of verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God's word gives us great wisdom of what to do. And notice something really significant about the whole passage, 7 through 11. In verse 7, the law of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord. In verse 8, the precepts of the Lord and the commandment of the Lord. In verse 9, fear of the Lord and ordinances of the Lord. Six times the author uses of the Lord. So who is that? That's Yahweh. That's God. The one who says, my name is I am and there is no other. The God who knows all things that have ever been or that ever will be, who understands us perfectly, who knows you better than you know yourself, who knows everything about how the universe works from galaxies to subatomic energy. This God has spoken with the law, with the testimonies, the precepts, the commandments, the ordinances of his word. Who are we to step over here and say, we're going to figure out a better way to go about it than the Lord? It is God who's writing to us. And what he wants us to know about him, about us, about life. The New Testament confirms this truth. Very great verse of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's God's word. And is profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and for training in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Are you equipped? Are you being profited? Are you being warned? Are you being corrected? Are you being trained by the word of God? I say this because we need to not think that the Bible is not fully applicable or helpful. It is a great gift. It is an essential tool if you long to be a faithful servant. I mean, he is personal. He knows us. God understands us better than anyone. He knows how people get to be the way they are, how they are affected by their surroundings. God understands our society and groups perfectly. He knows all the facts and how the world works, the future, how everything will come to an end. Wiser than any other writer. He's more caring than any other counselor. He's more creative than any other artist. So do I have the value of what his word written so I can know him, know these things? Is that a value to me like nothing else? I pray it is in the new year of 2017. If you're looking to be a faithful servant, a good steward of the life God has entrusted you in 2017, then you will be desperate and faithful to being in the Word of God. And the benefits of studying the Word of God are many. We see back in our passage here in Psalm 19, David says in verse 10, the words of God are more to be desired than gold, even fine gold. Sweeter than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. In keeping them, there is great reward. So if you have a choice between the word of God and gold, choose the word of God. If you have the choice between the word of God and fine gold, choose the word of God. The choice between the word of God and much fine gold, choose the word of God. The point is plain. The benefits of knowing and doing the word of God are greater than money can buy. And what are some of these benefits? This great reward by us meditating on the Bible, by us submitting ourselves and our church to it. Number one, the benefit of life. David mentions the law is perfect, reviving the soul. So we are in a constant fight with this life and time, with sin. We need the truths of God's word to wake us up, to wake up our sleeping hearts, to revive our wayward souls and minds. It's a fight. It's a daily fight. You can't start getting comfortable going into battle in your sweatpants. But that's what some of us do. We drift from the equipping of the Word of God, and we try to take on this deal because you say, man, I've been in church 30 years. Pastor, I got it. I'm good. And that's like eventually getting out of the Word of God. It's like eventually fighting in sweatpants. You need to be armed. You need to be reminded. You need the soul revived regularly to fight that sin, to not get into excuse making, to not get into laziness or selfish desires. Jesus is fasting for 40 days in the beginning of his ministry. He says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He is as hungry gets in his flesh, and makes a very bold and important statement that even in this hour of great hunger, my body is for food, the word of God is better. It's better. It feeds the soul. It feeds life better than the temporariness of a biscuit. Many of you feel like your faith is very bland. I would contend that potentially your Christian body is malnourished. That's why. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Our life begins with the word. Our soul is nourished by it. Also the benefits of joy, church. The greatest joys we could know are found in God. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing in our heart. The ordinances of the Lord are sweeter than the drippings of the honeycomb. In that day, the honey was the best thing. It was the sweetest thing. It was the, oh, that's really good stuff. God offers to us a church, as a people, the joys of knowing him, of being satisfied by him. And part of how that happens is the word of God. So let's get real practical to know what to do and what not to do, to know satisfaction and joy like nothing else. We have to be desperate to invest ourselves into the word in 2017. I'm committed in my preaching to bring us the word of God and not my own ideas, but to keep us holding fast to God's words, God's intentions, God's priorities, to be willing to lead us through tough things according to God's word, to be willing to lead us even through changes according to God's word, to be willing to inspire us or admonish us. Our teaching team is also committed to this and bringing the word weekly at our midweek lessons. Those of you being discipled will be brought to the word regularly by your disciple makers. We as a church must lay our routines, our preferences, our traditions at the feet of God and look to his word to direct our paths. Sometimes you might run into people who are really like big on God and they're big on God's word and they'll say something, but God's word says this. And then society or maybe even you are quick to go, but it just feels like maybe this is the better thing though. Or my logic says, maybe it's... Don't dismiss that person that wants to hold fast to the authoritative word of God as being like weird, too into church. It is either the authority of our lives or it's not. We don't get to play games with that. Together, we need to be inspiring each other to say, if that's what it calls us to do, then that's what we'll do. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What was us who ever think for a moment or a season or a day we're going to make a decision, set the word aside on our own merit, our own ideas, our own preferences? So today I ask you personally, what are you doing to prioritize a daily diet of the word of God in your life? You can't just sit on what God has given you. You have to invest. You must use every minute of every day to do the work of your master. You can't do that unless you are growing in your understanding of your master's commands and warnings for your life. So let us consider for a moment the application of this. In really making this a daily commitment, I want you to consider, are you making it a priority in your daily schedule? In other words, what part of your day will you schedule for the reading of God's word? It can't be something you hope to find time to do. That's not a priority. When you wake up and say, "Today, here is today's priorities," you make your day work around them, not them work around your day. So let's stop trying to tuck it in, hope it fits. Let's make it a priority. Where at work or home will you begin this regular practice to be in prayer and study God's word? That we would not be so arrogant to think that while the Avengers is on the TV, I'm going to really focus on the Word of God. Well, I would contend the live action that's here is greater than that. It just doesn't have the audible explosion pack. Okay. So where? Be particular about where. And then who knows your plan? You know, you will plan to go hit the gym and start tomorrow. You're really motivated, but you don't tell anyone, like, hey, hold me accountable, man. I mean, you keep that to yourself, you're probably not going to the gym in February. Right? Ask someone to walk with you, hold you accountable. Also, you need to invest in tools that are helpful to your study. If you have a Holy Bible that is of an older translation and therefore harder to read, well, no wonder why you don't read it regularly. You're fighting words that you don't even know what they are. So invest in a Bible that's good. We use the ESV translation here at Olive Drive. It's a word-for-word translation, but of the word-for-word translations, for that accuracy, I believe it's the easiest to read. The others are the King James, New King James, the NASB, our other popular ones. The ESV is a great translation. It's what we preach out of. It's what we read in our reading plan. I encourage you to get a good ESV Bible. It's a great translation. I encourage you to get things that help you, that are practical. You know, if your Bible that you always have is like this guy, you will have a really sweet-looking bicep. You will. Look at this thing. This is the study Bible we now recommend. Over the years, different study Bibles are released, and to date, this is our favorite work. One of the key things you pick in a study Bible is who's doing the application, who's bringing the commentary, what is their theology, what group was held accountable. So you're not getting just one Joe saying, here's what I think it is. You're getting a group of good theologians who are interpreting the word well, rightly. So this is the Reformation study Bible. For a lot of years, we promoted the ESV study Bible. It's a good study Bible. I don't not still promote that, but I like this one a lot better. It's the newest work. It's solid. Its amount of study helps as you read is great. The amount of insight that it brings is solid. I encourage you to have in your home a good study Bible, and it's worth the investment. Even if you've got to save up for a little bit to get it, and we'll put this at the back table. I'll let you thumb through my copy of this here that I keep in my office. You can check that out. But the one I encourage you to get to have with you to be in is what's called either the ESV Thin Line or a newer one called the Heritage. This one is a little more compact, it's a little fatter, but the words go all the way across the page. And you would get one of these and really make it your own. And I would encourage you not to keep it keep the pages holy. It's the Word of God that is holy, not the paper. So write on the paper, highlight the paper, mark it, stuff it, use it. Get grease on it because you're eating while you're reading. Fine. Be in the Word of God. You can always get a new one. Use the tool fully. You know, use it. Know it. Dig in. And so we'll put these on the back table. I encourage you to make sure you have a good Word of God with you. And then if you're kind of going, Pastor, where do I begin? You know, I'd say probably begin in the New Testament. We've done now for 3 years, I believe, a daily reading plan. You received a few weeks ago this yellow copy of this 2017 year's reading plan. So this is a tool. One of the things I like about us reading together is we're all reading the same thing. So when you meet or when we talk, we can talk about the word we're reading that day. But I would encourage you to not only read this, you might have other things you're studying, or you're also studying John and other things that we're doing with the catechism work or maybe whatever. But the first year we read through the New Testament, one chapter a day. So it's not a big amount of reading. It's, you know, I'd rather you really dig in and understand a smaller part than have a junior G-man badge because you read a lot. That's not the point. You don't read it like a novel. We read it, we dig in. And then last year we read through 52 figures of the Bible. We started at the Old Testament at the beginning. We worked all the way through the scriptures and looked at 52 different people. Those are both still available online. You can go back and check those out. But this year we're going to read a number of different spiritual disciplines. And we're going to read through the Proverbs. I'm very excited about this. We're going to intermix the Proverbs throughout the work on the different disciplines. So we're on a week for a discipline. We'll have a number of different readings. Some are as short as a short paragraph. Some are even just a verse for that day that you would meditate and focus on that passage. And then Monday through Friday, you'll get in the email if you use email, or you can just use this in your Bible to track along. On Saturday morning, I write a devotion that goes with that week's study, and you'll get that on Saturday morning. Called Saturday Study. And then Sunday, there's no reading for the plan. We're hoping that you're reading the text we're going to be in that day, studying what we're in, going back and meditating over what we studied that week. So we'll intermix some Proverbs throughout to break it up. We're going to focus on the spiritual disciplines this year. I'm very, very excited about that. So join us. If you're already signed up and you get the daily email, you don't need to do anything. You'll tomorrow morning, you'll get the first reading of the year. If you're not, go on our website, find the reading plan, enter your email. You'll get a confirmation. You need to confirm that you want this, and then you'll start getting the email tomorrow, Monday. If you have questions, shoot us an email. We'll work with you on it. Or again, for those of you not using technology in that way, you have this. We have more in the back today, along with these Bibles that you can look at to maybe consider and dig in with us. When the Lord returns, will he find you a faithful servant? Or will he find you sitting on what he has entrusted to you, making excuses for why you are not maturing and growing in it, for his glory and your good? Will you invest yourself into the life he's called you to live? Will you invite others to walk with you and hold you accountable in these things? Let's leave here today, this first day of the new year, 2017, and step into this year armed, ready for battle, ready to make the most of today. No more sweatpants. That we would be faithful servants. And that one day Jesus would look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's pray. Lord, we are very blessed to have this space and this place to meet, to call home, to gather. to not be cold, to have some warmth, to have some company, to corporately worship you, to lift your name on high, the living God, to look to your word and grow and mature, to be reminded this morning of the fact that you, like in the parable, have entrusted us, uniquely different, all of us, but that we would be not dismissive, we would not be full of excuses, we would lean in and really acknowledge what it is you've entrusted to us, acknowledge that we are responsible and accountable to these things, that we would hold fast your word, we would hunger, we'd meditate on it, we would make time for it, we would submit ourselves to it as we go forth in these days. God, that you would be honored and glorified, that others would be blessed in our homes, in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, in our church, and to the ends of the earth. I'm very excited about this year of 2017. You're going to stretch us and challenge us and grow us. I am sorry for the excuses that I've made, for the things that I thought had a better timing or a better application or were more important, not only in my own life, but in my leading this church. Help us to be in tune with what those things are, that we could really confess them, repent of them, be willing to be in step with you every step of the way. You're a good God. You are worthy. We sing Hosanna. Salvation has come. You are our salvation, Lord. You are to be praised in the highest. Here we are, God. Lead us, your people, your servants. Commit this year to you. But let us start with today. We love you. We pray these things in the powerful name of King Jesus. Amen.